Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle Radio. Each week, the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in finance take you beyond the numbers and hype right to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week, we're reflecting on the recent consumer and retail conference that took place last week in New York. With us on the show to share their insights into some of the key narratives that emerged both from the main sessions and on the margins are three smart analysts from UBS, including MD Michael Lasser, who welcomed delegates to the conference. So let's hear from them now. We start with Michael, who is Managing Director and US Hardline, Broadline and Food Retail Analyst at UBS. Michael, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us. Just give me a headline, first of all, kind of before we get into the detail of what was discussed at the conference. Tell me a little bit about your expectations going in, because I know obviously you sort of welcomed everyone to the event. How did you set the agenda? What did you see as being the kind of key issues that you wanted to get stuck into over the couple of days?
The key agenda items that we wanted to focus on were, number one, what is the state of the consumer in both developed markets like the US and Western Europe, as well as emerging markets? And two, how is the consumer changing? We're living in a very dynamic world that seems to be moving at an ever so fast pace. So the hope for this event was to try and provide some insight around how those changes are manifesting.
Tell me a little bit then about some of the key, I guess the key things, again, if we're talking about the landscape that the conference happened in, the big things in the backdrop, Michael, and whether we're actually moving into a bit of a new moment, because one imagines that, I don't know, for the last couple of editions, we would have been talking about an inflationary environment, interest rates, consumer confidence, maybe worries about unemployment or the potential for a soft landing, that kind of thing. Were those things still very, very present, or had the sort of narrative moved on a little bit in terms of what was making up that backdrop?
Those were still the themes in focus, the underlying strength of the consumer, what's happening with inflation, how are elevated interest rates impacting certain categories. And then the other area of focus was who is succeeding in this environment and who is falling behind or not seeing as robust trends. And those were some of the interesting points.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's jump in then to what actually came to pass. Some of the narratives, whether they played out kind of from the main speakers or whether they were conversations on the margin, which are often, aren't they, just as interesting. Tell me what jumped out at you. Was it a particular, very specific sector? Was there a voice from F&B? Anything that really kind of jumped out that you think maybe surprised you on the up or downside?
So one trend that I thought was really interesting and notable is that there is a division in the U.S. retail sector right now between those retailers that have frequent interactions with their customers. Think about the mass merchants like Home Depot or Costco and others who are seeing their customers on a regular basis versus those retailers that see their customers far less frequently. The Wayfair, as an example, noted that it typically only interacts with its customers twice a year. So what's happening is consumers are consolidating more of their spend at those retailers where they have frequency. And that's not just for everyday items like food and other consumables, but that's discretionary items. Costco's spoken recently to strength in areas like appliances and white goods, as an example. The other interesting takeaway from a thematic perspective was those retailers that sell big ticket discretionary goods like mattresses, furniture, and other durables that are not purchased very often are finding that while they had worked through some of the excess demand that occurred through the pandemic, they are now facing pressure from the lack of move events in the United States. Typically, there's 5 to 6 million existing home sales in the United States. That's on a base of about 135 million homes here. Right now, there's only about 4 million homes that are transacting each year. And the lack of move events means that consumers are not buying those things like TVs, mattresses, etc. Those were the two big takeaways.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And just drilling down in a bit more detail, some of the other narratives that we've kind of had mentioned is about, well, stuff you've reflected on already, a bit of sort of consumer softness, I guess you'd call it, in some areas, I guess foot traffic's down. And interestingly, I guess with inflation now
dropping a little, or we should perhaps expect certainly in that F&B space to see a bit more in the way of value-focused activity, you know, looking at maybe discounting, promotional activity. And we haven't had much of that. We hadn't needed to have much of that. And indeed, certainly the food, the prices have been resolutely high, haven't they, for a couple of years. I mean, that's interesting. Was that a kind of a direction of travel that was broadly agreed upon amongst many of the speakers, certainly in that space?
It was, but that's a bit of theme in this space for the last couple of years. As you can imagine, in areas like consumer electronics or sporting goods, where demand took a big step up during the pandemic and has since reverted back to pre-pandemic levels or even lower, the companies have had to engage more aggressively in demand generation activities like promotions and discounting, not only to seek out customers, but also try and gain market share.
Well, I'd like to kind of throw things forward. We often, Michael, on this show, try and talk about, you know, things to watch out for ahead. And I know, obviously, we're never that far away are we, from big new data sets, which are super interesting for you and your colleagues. But if we take a slightly longer term view, did you hear anything about any kind of specific areas of, I don't know, innovation or progressive moves, whether that's in sort of policy terms or in opportunity terms, that kind of got you thinking, wow, that's something I need to kind of dig a little deeper into? Presumably that's one of the exciting things that emerges from a dynamic conference like this, is that you get a bit of inspiration and you maybe get challenged a little bit. Were there any narratives like that for you that you think will be interesting takeaways?
Yeah, you know, the business model of selling goods in the United States is evolving, where increasingly retailers are making money not just by purveying goods, but also by monetizing the traffic that they get to their stores and their websites through things like selling advertisements. And this was a constant area of focus as part of these conversations. Retail media has really emerged as a driving force within the retail sector. We expect that to become far bigger and far more meaningful for a lot of these companies over the next few years.
Any quick final thoughts, Michael?
Yeah, one, we had Costco's CFO, who recently retired, at the event. And the message for him is that all of the stakeholders for this global retailer should rest easy. Costco is going to remain focused on doing what it's been doing, which is providing really high quality prices, really high quality products at low prices. And there should not be any change in that strategy as a result of some of the transitions that have occurred.
Michael Lasser. Well, next, let's catch up with Peter Grom, US Beverages and Household Products Analyst at UBS. Peter, welcome. Thanks for your time today. Peter, give me a sense of whether there was a feeling that we're at a bit of an inflection point for some of these sectors at the conference. We've been talking for so long about the inflationary environment, rates, consumer confidence. What was the discourse? What was the discussion like at the conference?
It's interesting. We're several weeks away from reporting 4Q earnings from end of January through early February. The Consumer Staples Group, by and large, has their largest annual conference the second to last week of February. So, you know, we did not really expect any major shifts in tone from that perspective. And I think that was largely true across most of the meetings and presentations. And that management team has reiterated not much has changed. The consumer, at least from a U.S. perspective, still remains resilient. I think from a company perspective, I think the brands that have seen momentum continue to see momentum. And I would say, like, look, there seems, at least in the conversations at the conference, for so long, it feels like a lot of these companies have been waiting for this shoe to drop, for the consumer to really shift, for things to really change, for wallets to really tighten. And in many ways, that hasn't really been the case. So there just seems to be more confidence, I guess I would say, that maybe we are going to maybe not deal with a particularly steep downturn. Now, all that being said, I think there are still pockets of weakness. I think most of the companies that I interviewed, they did touch on, you know, weakness, particularly at the lower income consumer. But by and large, you know, the consumer remains solid. Like, as it relates to inflation, it's very much a lot of the same. These companies are still dealing with input cost pressures. They're still dealing with supply chain pressures, upstream costs. And so while the rate of inflation has moderated, it is still positive year on year. And I think a lot of these companies still feel like there's an opportunity to take price. Now, how much price, how confident they are in that price, really depends on the company and the categories in which they compete. But by and large, not much has really changed, to be fair. It's just more that the percentage increases have certainly changed, and they're certainly lower than what we've seen.
Yeah, super interesting. And I wanted to just get your feeling on that. Maybe you can talk to us a little bit about how this was discussed through the conference, this feeling that certain consumers do still feel a bit stretched, you know, and they're more maybe value conscious than they were. Are there other measures that are interesting to look at? I mean, I guess if we look back to, say, real wages, and you go back to the start of, I don't know, 2021, say, okay, they're catching up, but they're still below where they were. I mean, is this why maybe people feel a little bit, if they're not concerned, they're maybe a little dissatisfied perhaps with some of their buying power?
I think that's certainly fair. But, you know, by and large, I think, you know, at least in the categories and the companies that I cover, most of the time, these are not discretionary purchases, right? I mean, these are everyday use items that, you might be willing to forego an appliance purchase, but, you know, it's not like you're going to give up brushing your teeth for a period of time, right? Now, to be fair, I think you are seeing squeezing a little extra toothpaste out of the tube. I think people might be, you know, doing some pantry destocking before going back to the store to kind of reload. You're seeing that in certain areas, but, you know, by and large, it's hard to say, at least in my categories, that you're starting to see a big difference. Now, there are some companies that I do cover that were at the conference that tend to be more in what I would say the consumer durable space. So Scotts Miracle-Gro, which is, you know, does lawn and garden products, which I think most people are familiar with their brands. I cover a company called Spectrum Brands. They do lawn and garden care. They actually sell appliances. And what was interesting is that after 2 years of significant underperformance, they're starting to see consumers kind of come back for their product. So in many ways, it feels like maybe there is some sort of inflection going on to the upside. But yeah, I think a lot of companies are cautious in kind of speaking to that right now, because I think a lot of this can change. And if particularly, I think the one area most of my companies are focused on is just kind of the unemployment level. And, you know, as long as people have jobs, they're getting paid, they're oftentimes going to be purchasing their products, right? Now, we are seeing some pockets within consumer staples where, you know, maybe private label penetration is picking up, but it's really not more outsized than what we've seen historically. It's kind of more of a return to normal, if you will.
Yeah, and I wanted to maybe get you to draw some of these strands together then for us, Peter, because we're going to dive a little deeper with your colleagues in this program, talking to Dennis and to Michael as well. But give me a sense of what people are really looking towards. I don't know if that's, you know, obviously we've got some big data points that can emerge in the days ahead, but do you get a sense that people are kind of marking their cards, they're looking to the future? Obviously it's a general election year in the US, that's obviously always huge, although sometimes the difference that actually makes in kind of market terms is maybe debatable. What were some of the kind of big takeaways as people look towards the future from the conversations that you had?
I think it's important to separate this discussion from like a stock perspective and like a fundamental perspective, because I think from a stock perspective, consumer staples, as an old colleague once referred them to me, you own them because you need to, not because you want to. So if you think about the stock performance from here, you really kind of need either the broader market momentum to shift, or you need to see signs from an economic perspective that things are deteriorating and that maybe we aren't, in fact, heading for a soft landing or no landing, whatever phrase you really want to use, right? And so it doesn't appear that either of those are really playing out at this stage. And so from a consumer staple stock perspective, I think unfortunately it feels like people are, I would say, comfortable being less constructive on the group as a whole, even though when you look at this group relative to the market, it appears to be somewhat cheap. From a fundamental perspective, the big thing that investors are looking for is when organic revenue growth can become more balanced. As I'm sure, you know, your listeners are seeing when they go to stores, price has been the primary driver of growth. And as pricing moderates, as the consumer pushes back a little bit, as retailers begin to push back a little bit, particularly as inflation has, you know, moderated, the question really becomes, when can volume get back to growth? I think it really depends on the company and the country and specifically the category in terms of when that you ultimately see that, because everyone has different exposures and some are doing better relative to the category than others. But I think that's going to be the key point of focus for this group looking ahead. And then I think the bigger question, and this is something that's a little bit more further out, is if we do in fact reach a deflationary environment, just given the magnitude of inflation that we've seen, you know, and it, let's just say it could revert back to historical levels, could this result in more price reduction than we've seen historically? For the most part, most of the companies that I cover hold on to price, you know, over time. Yes, they will certainly promote or deal back some of the price increases from time to time, but it's very rare that you see price decreases. And so I think there's some investors that are concerned that, you know, if we are in fact heading for a deflationary environment at some point in time, what does this mean from a pricing perspective? And will this kind of put the company's top line and probably margin expansion plans at risk?
Peter Grom. And finally this week, let's check in with UBS US restaurants analyst Dennis Geiger. Dennis, welcome to you. Thanks for being with us on the program. And let's start with F&B. What were some of the key narratives in the space at the conference across, I don't know, consumer confidence, discounting, inflation? Give us your take.
Yeah, so on the consumer first, right, because I think, again, this was probably the biggest topic at the conference, on the restaurant consumer and restaurant demand, I think there were some mixed signs. I think on the whole, you heard, you know, a consumer that certainly is under some pressure, right, particularly with that lower-income consumer. But I mentioned mixed because there were some commentary from some of the brands where their consumer is not seeing any pressure, you know, and maybe I'll start there. You know, we had Shake Shack there and their, you know, CEO spoke to really not seeing that pressure. And perhaps that's because that's sort of a higher income customer than a McDonald's customer, than your average Wendy's customer. But again, at least the Shake Shack customer and Shake Shack broadly is not seeing, you know, that consumer softness that a lot of others in the industry have seen. And so then we shift over to, you know, to McDonald's and to Wendy's and similar. And then you started hearing a bit more about the pressure on the consumer, right? And just that at a high level, again, it was particularly, I think, acute with the low income consumer. And we can, you know, sort of come back to this, but, you know, they were saying that there are pressures out there. We're seeing it with the low income consumer, you know, whether it's sort of some check management, you know, where you're buying fewer items, or even, you know, an impact to the number of visits. So this was all very topical, again, the consumer and sort of that pressure really continuing, because it's been going on for several quarters now, but that pressure on the U.S. lower income consumer. Then we had some commentary around international, and again, we can focus more on this, but McDonald's talking about pressure with the consumer in Europe in particular. And, you know, I would say the McDonald's commentary was probably the biggest takeaway and read across from the conference. McDonald's, again, essentially talking about some, you know, continued and incremental pressure that they're seeing with their consumer, particularly over in Europe. So a lot of focus there. Related to that, you heard more about promotional activity and discounting as a way to kind of cater to that customer, drive some visits from that customer. You know, if the consumer is pressured, okay, we're gonna give them a deal, you know, and make them come out, come to our restaurant, et cetera. So, you know, that promotional activity or value focused activity does seem to be ramping up. And you heard some of that, I would say, at the conference for sure. And then on the cost side of things, I would say margin commentary was actually pretty favorable. I think food costs easing meaningfully from where they were last year, you know, sort of, you know, 8, 9, you know, 10% plus, depending on the brand last year. And now we're kind of in the low single digit, 2-3%, low to mid single digit, maybe type of food cost inflation for these restaurants. So that being kind of a nice benefit to margins and profitability. On the labor side, that's kind of stable, mid single digit, you know, 4-6% type of wage inflation. California's got some big minimum wages that, you know, a lot of companies have exposure to beginning April of this year, actually, where hourly fast food employees are going to $20 an hour minimum. So that labor inflation is stable, but it still very much is elevated. And, you know, I think you put it all together, and I would say the broad tone at the conference was optimism on the year that, you know, despite a slow start to the year with weather and some sort of tough comparisons against last year, that things should get a bit better. Even as, again, some of the macro pressure that I mentioned certainly is weighing on traffic trends right now.
Just in terms of value, were there any narratives that maybe surprised on the up or downside, actually, Dennis, out of these few days of discussions you're hearing from all kinds of luminaries, you know, from across the sector, about what sort of kind of serving up, if you forgive the pun, that value looks like, whether that's to shareholders or to the end consumer? Are we looking at a time where if things get a little softer, people will need to be a bit more fleet of foot and they'll need to be innovative in their delivery of that value in either of those respects? Was there a hunger to talk about that kind of innovation?
I would say yes. I would say, you know, and again, you know, it kind of goes to some extent as McDonald's goes, right? But we have seen a very rational promotional and discounting environment since COVID, essentially, where the brands really haven't had to lean in deep on discounts, you know, lean in deep on promotional activity. Obviously, last year was very hard to do that, given how high food costs were. So it was hard for them to discount. And in prior years, you know, leading back to COVID, you didn't really need to. So now, maybe for the first time in 4 years or so, 4+ years, given, again, perhaps some of this consumer softness, given restaurant industry foot traffic, you know, year over year is somewhat negative, and now we have food cost inflation that's come down meaningfully, it kind of, the ingredients are there, so to speak, for, you know, for some increased discounting and promotional activity. And we've seen this really starting at the end of last year, the end of 23, you started to see a little bit of a ramping up of the promotions. It's kind of continued a bit into this year. I would say we're still rational. It doesn't look, you know, as heavily promotional as some of the years that we saw pre-COVID. But I think we're going to see this start to ramp some. And, you know, you had McDonald's and Wendy's and others talking about it. And I think, again, you know, McDonald's specifically is talking about the need for lower absolute price points, right? So not necessarily bundled offerings, you know, drink, fries, and a sandwich, but, you know, sort of low absolute price points, which is already happening at a local franchisee level, they highlighted, but really on a national level, national advertising, et cetera, this is going to be something it sounds like they're going to lean into a bit more this year in 2024. And I would say, again, as McDonald's goes, I think it's very fair to think that a lot of the other chains, a lot of the other brands will probably follow the lead there.
Dennis Geiger. And that brings us to the end of this edition of the programme, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle Radio. Listen again and find out more at the website monocle.com or follow the programme wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, you can discover more and find out how UBS can help you at ubs.com. This is The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle Radio. I'm Tom Edwards. Thanks for listening.